This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Yes, hello and welcome along to another instalment of It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer. I am still standing in for Darren. My name is Joe Redmond, and of course, joining me on the phone is the man himself. Carlton, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you. All good. You all right?
Not too bad. Obviously, living in Shanghai, you won't be aware of the good weather over here at the minute. We had a bit of a dip after the bank holiday, and now the weather's getting good again. So it all seems to be good over here. Everyone's in a good mood, even the Leeds fans, I think.
Yeah, well, we get daily updates. The kids and mother and dad, they all tell us when the weather's good and when the weather's not so good. But yeah, we've got beautiful weather. I mean, it's been 32 degrees today. It's been beautiful. Bit too hot for us, but it's been nice.
Oh, well, you're putting us into the shade a bit there. I think we're about 22, something like that. I've not actually checked the actual temperature, but obviously it's never going to be as good as it is in Shanghai. We'll get going as soon as this is finished, then we'll just play this and then we'll get into the questions.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Well, unfortunately, the season has finished, so there is no more football, apart from, of course, the Champions League final and the FA Cup in terms of the domestic season. But thankfully, the World Cup comes around pretty soon enough. But just looking at the Premier League, 100 points for Manchester City. A lot of people are saying that they're one of the greatest Premier League teams ever. Some even saying they are the greatest Premier League team ever. Where would you put them amongst the rankings?
Well, no, I don't think you can say that after one season. You can't say that. It's been a fantastic season. They've played a brand of football that has been exciting to watch. It's been a joy to watch them. But to say after one season as good a season as it's been, to say that they're the best ever, I can't say that and wouldn't say that. Let's see if they can repeat it again next season.
Yeah, a lot of people do point towards the record point tally and the record gap and the record number of wins, but a lot of other people do say the Premier League's a little bit weaker than what it was in the likes of 1999 and the year that Arsenal did the Invincibles. Would you agree on that one?
I totally agree on that one. And also, you have to quantify this as well as Man City have done. They've done it with spending an awful lot of money. So to say that they're the best ever with those factors in mind, I think it's a bit harsh to say that. Let's see if they can do it again next season, because I've got a feeling that Jose Mourinho, he'll be banging on their door next season.
Speaking of Jose Mourinho, just looking at Manchester United, there is a lot of unrest among United fans. But if you look at last season, it's been a really big improvement. Obviously, finishing sixth last season, and now they're finishing second. I think they got more points than they did in the 1999 season. Obviously, City just ran away with it, so obviously they're nowhere near the league. But how do you think that Jose has done this season?
I think he's done a fantastic job. He really has. I mean, they're in the FA Cup final. They finished second in the league. You'll be disappointed in that, but it's been a transitional phase. There was a big job to be done. There was a big job after Sir Alex Ferguson left, and even bigger job, after Moyes, Van Gaal started to get things going. But it's a big job. I'm not arguing that he's not had the money to spend. He has. That's the way Jose Mourinho works. He has a remit to do, and he delivers. His remit this season was Champions League football. They're back in the Champions League. So next year he'll be going. And I know the supporters, I hear the supporters up and down the country. And it really does get me a little bit when they talk about the brand of football, right? We'd all like to play great attacking football. But the be-all and end-all is winning football matches. Everton, I hear the unrest with Sam Allardyce. It's the highest finish they've had for years. For years. And look at the position when Sam came in, they were in a position of getting relegated. Stoke were complaining about the way that they played, changed the manager and got relegated. Tony Pulis, they were complaining about at West Brom, changed the manager and got relegated. If you're not the best side in the league, you have to play games sometimes where you've got to nullify the opposition. And that's the way Jose Mourinho works. But in his tenure, wherever he's been, usually when they win the league, like Real Madrid, they scored the most goals. So people say, well, he plays this style of football. He does. He plays two holding midfield players. He makes his side nice and secure, and they score goals. he's not quite got the balance right, and still finish second and possibly going to add the FA Cup to another, which would be pretty successful season to his CV. I think what gets Mourinho, what happens with Mourinho is he spits his dummy out. And so some of the comments he makes, you know, I wouldn't be too happy if I was one of his players and some of the comments he makes and the supporters see that. And I think that's what kind of creates the ill feeling about some of the things he actually says. But I think there's a method to his madness. I think he wants rid of the likes of Shaw. And when he publicly criticised them, he knows it's going to cause a problem. So he knows that they earn an awful lot of money and they're not just going to walk away. So publicly criticising them and humiliating them a little bit might cause them to move on, and he gets his way.
Just a quick side point, you did mention Sam Allardyce at Everton there. He's obviously steered Everton clear of relegation, as has David Moyes at West Ham. But if the rumours are to be believed, both of them managers will be out of a job by the end of the week. How do you feel about it? Because I know you like managers to be at clubs for a long time and create stability, because obviously stability breeds success. So how do you feel about these two coming in, saving their clubs from relegation and then being dismissed?
Well, I don't get Sam. They took him on a two-year contract. Obviously, Sam wanted a two-year contract. They sent a survey out to the supporters, and I think that's poor form from the chairman or the club or whatever. I believe they do it every year, so it's not just about Sam Allardyce. But they shouldn't do that because, you know, the supporters, and don't get me wrong, the supporters pay the wages. They pay, you know, they come and support the club, and they should have a say. But at the end of the day, you bring a manager in, and they're in serious relegation trouble, and he's pulled them out of it, and he's done the job he's done. They weren't fussed on Ronald Koeman, who'd done a great job at Southampton. You know, again, it's one of those you've got to be careful, you know, what you want, because at the end of the day, he's done the job that he was asked to do. And if I go back, and I keep talking about going back, look at Bolton. When he first went into Bolton, they played what was called the long ball game, and they played functional football. By the time they were an established Premier League side, he was signing the likes of Campo, Okocha, Anelka, and they were playing some fantastic football. El Hadj Diouf, they were a good side to watch. You know, so it takes time to get that to that stage where you've got those players in. Remember, Sam's gone in there, the players that were there, they're not his players. I think he's only brought two players in, Theo Walcott and the other guy. You know, and he's done a fantastic job. Got to be careful what you wish for. I really do. David Moyes, another precarious situation. And now they're talking about the need to bring a top manager in to move the club forward. Well, all you've got to do is go back and look at David Moyes' record over his tenure at Everton. That gives you longevity and that gives you success. What more would West Ham would be looking for? I don't understand, because they're not going to break into the top four or top five. But I think David Moyes, given time, could get them around sixth or seventh, because, you know, they're not going to spend the money that's going to get them in that position. So David Moyes has proved that he can wheel and deal. He's proved that he can bring the young players on and bring them through the ranks, and give him 5 or 6 years, he'll build a successful football club. Both of those clubs, in my opinion, will be worse off for those two guys leaving.
Speaking of managers who steered their clubs clear of relegation, Huddersfield Town stayed up after two big draws at Man City and Chelsea towards the end of the season. What have you made of Town so far this season?
I've liked their spirit. I do like his spirit. I like the bloke, full stop. I was very disappointed when Sheffield Wednesday didn't beat them in the playoffs. And they beat them twice in the league that season. Yeah. And, you know, the same thing that I talked about, Carlos, he went to Huddersfield and played a defensive system. And to be fair to Huddersfield should have beaten us. Never mind we nicked a draw to take them back to Hillsborough. They should have beaten us. And then I knew once we went back to Hillsborough, they're going to shut up shop and get the penalties. But fair play to David. He's got the best out of his players. You know, Swansea should have been away and out of that. They were out of that situation. But again, once the pressure comes on, Carlos, goes back to a defensive situation, and he allowed the likes of Southampton and Huddersfield to claw themselves out of a really bad situation. But credit to Wagner, credit to his players, and they should enjoy that and get ready for the battle next season.
Well, on Wagner, he has been linked with a move to Leicester. How do you think he'd do there if he went, and do you think he'll go?
It's always very difficult to assess how another manager would go to a club, you know, and move up from the situation. Because you look at David Moyes at Everton, I'd have put my house on him doing well at Manchester United. But, and I know it was a difficult situation, but there's some managers can't cope with having money to spend. David Moyes did a brilliant job at Everton on virtually having no money to spend. And then when he had money to spend, he struggled on getting that recruitment right. So it's hard to say. Huddersfield and Leicester, obviously Leicester's going to be a step up in terms of stature, in terms of the money that they can pay and pay to the players. So obviously that gives you a better chance of being successful. But you know, I think David should stay where he is for another season. That's what I think. Unless you know, it's an offer that he can't refuse. I think he'd be better off staying there and looking for that maybe better job than Leicester.
FA Cup final this Saturday, obviously at Wembley Stadium. Chelsea's form seems to have dropped off a bit of a cliff towards the end of the season in the last couple of games. They drew with home with Huddersfield, and then I think they got battered at St James's Park. But before that, they were in decent form. Man United picking up the odd win here and there, as they have done all season, grinding out results and then losing a shock result as they did at Brighton, but then winning on the last day at home to Watford, I think it was. Who are you backing at Wembley on Saturday?
Man United will win that one.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Chelsea, for some reason, there seems to be a lot of unrest there. There's a lot of talk of Conte leaving at the end of the season. He seems to be unhappy. The fans are unhappy. The board are unhappy. It's transmitting on to the players. Although it's a big game, they'll get themselves up for it. Make no mistake about this. The players, not everybody's Jose Mourinho's cup of tea. The players love him. Every player that's played for him, that has done well and gotten well, has always said to me they love playing for him. So make no mistake about it. The likes of Pogba and the big players will play at Wembley for him. And I think they'll add a trophy to him, and then people will keep saying what they're saying, and Jose will go, well, look, I finished second and won another trophy.
Yeah, I went down to the semi-final and Tottenham started off quite well, and I thought, here we go, United could end up losing there. But they just seemed to turn it on when they needed to, and that's something a Mourinho side always seems to do. Just looking at the World Cup as well, it starts in 30 days, so I'll have quite a large chat with you about that. The England squad has been announced tomorrow, though. What do you think the main selection headache will be for Southgate?
Well, I don't know. I mean, apparently he's waiting on three players, isn't he? And I don't know who these three players are that he's waiting on as regards injury problems. But we've fallen foul of that before. And for me, if anybody, unless it's a world-class player like Messi or Ronaldo or a Beckham or a Gerrard or, you know, somebody like that, if they're not 100% fit now, don't take them, don't pick them. That's as simple as it is. There's a lot of players played well in the season that could be looked at, a lot of young players. I mean, the boy Shelvey, he's not had a look in. He's had a great season. If you give me a choice now between taking Shelvey and Wilshere, I've got to be honest with you, and I'm a big fan of Wilshere. I think he's a terrific player. But if you give me the choice of taking the two now, I think Shelvey's been more productive with the ball, more productive in what he's done in Newcastle season. I really do. I think he's looking at his back line as well. I think he's got to make a decision about that. I mean, I don't know what's happened with the boy Small in there. I think he's been fantastic for Man City this season. But he seems to have fallen foul of Southgate. He says he wants a ball-playing centre-half. I get all that, but listen, your centre-halves are there to defend, as Stones has found out at Man City. Good player, but he's got to learn to defend. He's got away with it a little bit because, you know, he's had good players in front of him and they have 90% of the possession. But even with Gareth's had to look and play, you know, Kyle as the third centre-back to cover him for pace. But he wants to play him because he's a ball-playing centre back, and don't get me wrong, he's a good player. Just question him defensively. So I think he's got a few questions. I suppose the boy Rashford comes into that as well. But for me, I'd take him. I take the young players. I take pace. And what I want us to do in this World Cup is to go and do what we do best. Forget the other nations. We're never going to be like the Spanish, who can keep the ball and technically gifted. We're not going to be like the Brazilians. But you know what the Germans do? The Germans go and be like the Germans. They never set the world on fire till they get to the quarterfinal or the semi-finals. They're tough, they're robust, they're organised, they're disciplined, and they're always there or thereabouts. So let us go and unleash the likes of Sterling, Rashford, Kane, Vardy. Let's go and put there, because I don't care who you are. Kane's proved he can score goals against anybody. Rashford is, like I've said to you before, he's got more tricks than Paul Daniels. You've got the boy Sterling, who's had the season of his life. He's learnt how to play. He's learnt to get into areas. So if he can get the ball in those areas, he's going to go past people. Vardy's proved he can score goals. Kane's proved he can score. So we've got goals. So let's not be cautious. Let's go and have a go. And I think for the fans, if they go and have a go and we don't do well, at least they'll think, right, well, we've not been negative. Don't play the two holding players. Let's go free on top and let's go and have a go.
You do sound a lot more optimistic than the average England fan when you're reeling off all the players there. There isn't much optimism among the fans, though. Why do you think that is? Obviously, well, it's obviously because of the last couple of years, the last couple of tournaments not doing very well. But again, obviously, a lot of professionals look at the squad and think there is a chance, or ex-professionals in your case, look at the squad and think there is a chance that they could do well. Obviously not win it, but could do well.
Well, there's other factors this year. A lot of the players now who are at the top sides have been playing in Europe. A lot have been playing in the Premier League. So the playing field for me is a little bit more leveler this year. I mean, I prove the point when I say what I say. Look at the foreigners when they come over to the Premier League. They take a season to settle. Look at Ozil. World-class player, came to Arsenal, took him a season to settle. Sanchez, you know, it takes some time to settle. So the volume of the games that we play here has a detrimental effect on us when it comes to major championships. I know for a fact, without a shadow of doubt, I didn't play in a World Cup, but I played in the European Championships in 92. I played 78 games that season. When I went into that tournament, I was absolutely goosed. After the first game against Denmark, I had nothing left in the tank. You can't play this length of season we play and have our top players like Gerrard and Lampard playing 80-odd games and then expecting them to go into a tournament at the end of the season and being successful. It's ludicrous. And I can quantify that even more. Look at Spain, look at Italy, look at Germany. Spain, you could be Barcelona. You know you're going to play Levant on a Saturday. You know it's 5-0. You're not even getting out of second gear. You can't go to Huddersfield, as Chelsea have found out, and Man City have found out, on a Wednesday or a Saturday, right? And it's an easy game. It's a tough game. You can count. There's not many 5 or 6 nils in the Premier League. So my optimism comes from the fact that we have got good young players. I look at the fact that Rashford's not played a lot of football this season. Good player. You know, Kane's missed the last sort of a few weeks with injury, but he's come back with a few goals, this, that and the other. And I'm looking at the fact that we're going to be playing in Russia, which means we haven't got to acclimatise. You know, there's not going to be that, you know, where we have to be above sea level and all of that. So, you know, I'm optimistic also because the manager has got a different kind of backing from the FA. He's got the backing to go with the young kids. So he can go into that tournament without no fear. And if you look at what's been happening recently with the under-17s, the under-19s, the under-21s, we have been successful in those tournaments. And I think we've got the players. Henderson, they're going to be playing in the Champions League final, you know, against Real Madrid. He's had a fantastic season. You've got Dele Alli, good player. You've got Lallana, good player. You just got to be able to, which Gareth is showing, be able to adapt. So some games we can play a back four, some games we can play a three. You just got to adapt to the opposition, because that's what Brazil will do, that's what Germany will do, and that's what the Spanish will do. You've got to be able to adapt. But I've got to be honest with you, I'll stick my neck out and I'll say that England will get quarterfinals minimum.
Well, I hope your neck is firmly okay, because I would love England in the quarterfinals. Just moving on from England, though, the three teams you mentioned there, Brazil, Germany and Spain, they're the current three favourites. Which team are you backing to lift the trophy? It's a tough one.
I've looked at Brazil's squad. I've just seen the squad today. I think he's just sweating on. I think Alves has just been out. He's been ruled out through injury. So they've just rolled in and they're just sweating on one player. It's a very strong squad. It's a very, very strong squad. So I've got to be honest with you, I would put Brazil down as favourites at the moment. But I think it's going to be an interesting World Cup. As I say, Germany are a strong side. You've got, you know, Spain, really, really good side. I think it'll be a really good World Cup. I think the climate will suit. It's a good, fast, slick football. And I'm looking forward to it. And I am. And I'm very optimistic of England. I know that we get... Well, you see, we either go one way or the other, don't we, in the UK? We go completely over the top. And, well, we should win it. Well, we shouldn't win it, right? But then we go completely the opposite end and say, oh, well, we shouldn't, you know, we're going to do terrible. Just be realistic. Mm. Look at the players that we've got, the good young players we've got, right? I know he's got an issue with the goalkeeper, but hey, listen, the boy Butland's played well. There's other players who can come in that area. We've got good enough players. We've got good enough cover. You know, we can go to three centre-backs. Kyle Walker can go to right wing-back. Rose can go to left wing-back. We can alter around. We've got good pace about the team. And what they've got to do is have a belief about them and go and have a go. And if they do that, I think they can do really well. I really do.
Which team are you looking forward to seeing the most? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing the French. They've got a lot of young players, and I think if they gel properly, they could surprise a few people. So which team are you looking forward to seeing the most?
The French always seem to have a lot of good players and don't seem to gel, a bit like the Dutch, you know, with the Belgium as well, with the egos and whatever. And I don't understand, when you're all good players, you come together, surely you want to win the tournament, you put your ego to one side. No, I'm excited to see a lot of the teams yet. The French team, you know, I'm excited to see them. I mean, it'd be interesting to see the transformation in the Spanish side as well. A lot of different players from the last World Cup. You know, they got the informed goalkeeper. I mean, the boy De Gea, he's had another unbelievable season for Manchester United. And it just shows you, doesn't it? This is how people are. Do you remember when De Gea came over and... I forget who it was. Pete Schmeichel turned around and said, this boy will be a top keeper, just needs to be given time. And everybody was saying, no, no, he's got to go. He was flapping, he made a few mistakes, and look at him now. I don't think there's a better goalkeeper in the world at the moment now.
No, I think I agree. It's between him and Neuer. And I think at the minute, with the fact that De Gea is doing it week in, week out in a tough Premier League, I'd probably agree with there, to be honest, Colton. Do you think there'll be any teams that maybe surprise a few people, any dark horses?
Well, you always get a surprise, don't you? I mean, you do, whether it's the Cameroons or whatever. You always get a team that comes out surprising, sort of the groups or the knockout stages. But you'd be hard pressed to go away from you know the three teams there that you know, Brazil, Germany, and Spain. If you look at the squad of players that those three nations have got, you'd be hard pressed to look for a winner. You know, outside of those three. But let me tell you, if England were to get, when I say they get to quarterfinals, right, and they were to draw Germany, I would fancy England to beat Germany in the semi-finals. I'll tell you why. Just simply because it would be like two English teams clashing, because that's the way the Germans play. And I think we'd be better than them, and I think we'd have more pace than them. And I'm telling you, you mark my words, we will run it very close this year to getting the quarterfinals, And if we draw Germany, I'll tell you now, we're running close to getting in the semi-final. Now, I'm not saying England are going to win the tournament. I'm not being daft. I'm not being stupid. But I'm looking at the players who've been competing in the Champions League and competing at a high level, right? And we have had players who have done that. And we know that they can score goals. We know that we can cause teams problems. Now we've got to be brave enough to go and do it. And I think Gareth can be brave because the FA won't sack him, whatever happens after the World Cup. They won't sack him. So he has every opportunity now to just, you know, you look at the boy Fulham. I saw him again now. I forgot his name now. Scored a goal again last night.
Sessegnon.
Sorry?
Sessegnon.
Yeah. I mean, why not take a gamble on him? He's got great feet. Do you know what I mean? He's got great feet. And sometimes it's the unknown that people don't know about that can cause you an awful lot of problems. We've got some really talented young players. And I know he's not gonna go stupid and take and not tried and tested. But you see, like somebody like that kid, he won't have any pressure on his shoulders because there's no expectation on him.
We'll be interested to see if Southgate does make one of them brave decisions. And we're certainly in for an exciting World Cup if your prediction is true. So let's fingers crossed that that is true. Just on the England fans travelling over to Russia, a lot of England fans have obviously been put off because of the threats from the Russian hooligans. And that follows on from the violence in France 2 years ago. What have you made of it all?
Well, I mean, it's a difficult one. Would I be travelling with my young son?
Probably not. I know I wouldn't be.
I don't think I would, in all honesty. It's not worth... It wouldn't be the worth... I honestly believe that there'll be no trouble. I believe that they'll police it right and they'll do well. But I wouldn't take the gamble. So it's a difficult call, you know? And then it begs the question, when you come back to it, why hold the tournament at a place where you feel that people are going, don't feel comfortable and safe?
Yep.
Why? I mean, I wish somebody would explain that to me. You know, we would have problems in the UK because of certain elements, but if we held the World Cup or the European Championships, the police in here would make sure there would be no trouble. People would be safe and be able to travel to the games and back. Yep. That is for sure. So I just don't understand why FIFA would hold it... the World Cup in a country which, when it come around at the time, there was uproar about it, why they would hold it in a country where there is that threat. And all it does as well, it's encouraging people, like, I've got to be honest with you, there's a lot of unrest in the UK at the moment, and I was talking to my daughter about this yesterday. There's a lot of unrest in the UK at the moment, and I can understand where the unrest is coming from. People are working hard. You know, my dad came over in the late 50s, you know, 56, 57, from Jamaica. And you could work hard and you could own a car. You could go on a holiday. You know, you could live a decent life. You've got people now in the UK who are working hard and can't earn ends meet. And what happens is, when that happens, something like a major tournament is something to come out and rebel at. Do you know what I mean? Like when you have the riots in the UK, it gives these people, it's kind of just getting rid of their aggression somewhere along the line. So there will be some English troublemakers, I'm for sure. But I'm assuming that Russia will know that the world's eyes upon them. So they will, you know, make sure that it's a safe environment for people to come and watch a game of football. Because for me, it's sad when Liverpool against Rome, it's just really sad for me because I love football. I love everything that football's given me over the years and still gives me now. You know, camaraderie, you know, playing with your teammates, winning, losing, everything that football gives you, that adrenaline rush. I love everything about it. And it's sad when you think that a game of football, somebody could die over, supporting another team, going to watch your team in a major tournament. It's just a sad, sad indictment to the world, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think everyone will be hoping and praying that there is no violence or even a repeat of what happened in France 2 years ago, because although it wasn't horrendous, there were some disgusting scenes, certainly. We are coming towards the end of the show, though, Carlton, so it's a bit where I always ask you if there is anything that you would like to add, maybe something that you've seen over the course of the last week.
Yeah, well, I would. I mean, I tweeted about it the other day. I thought, you know, I was a big admirer, and still am, of Carlos Carvalho. I think he did a fantastic job at Sheffield Wednesday. He came in there. The club was in a bit of a mess, and he dragged it up by the seat of its pants. But then he seemed to lose his way under pressure. And, you know, listening to his comment when Swansea went down, like they interviewed him after the game. And I was a little bit disappointed because he's trying to pull the wool over people's eyes by turning around and saying, well, the reason why Swansea are relegated is because they only took this amount of points in the first half of the season, and he's taken 20 points in this game, and they've taken more points than Watford, Stoke, whatever, in this period of time. You know, just hold your hand up. If Fulham had taken more points, you wouldn't have got the job because they wouldn't be looking for a new manager. You were brought in to keep them up. You started off fantastically by playing attacking football. And then when the pressure came on, you played a negative style. Even the last game of the season, you never knew what might have happened. So he's played a striker that hasn't played for ages and somebody who hasn't scored any goals. There could have been, you know, he might have only needed a 5-goal win against a side that was already relegated, you know. So I was a little bit disappointed in his comments. I think managers need to hold their hands up and say, right, at the end, because that's what fans want. All fans want is, you know, hang on a minute, wasn't good enough. We went wrong there. We did this wrong. Don't be blaming other people and other excuses, because the simple fact is Carlos Carvalho wouldn't have been manager of Fulham if they had had enough points on the table.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that a lot of people are disappointed in him, obviously, especially fans of Swansea and things like that, because I remember there was a lot of, it was almost being turned into, not a legend, but there was a lot of media coverage and things like that, how he was saying things in a certain way. And yeah, I agree, it's just a little bit weird how it seemed to fall off a cliff, weren't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, I you know, I'm not trying to be clever. I predicted it. You know, I watched him when he's under pressure, and when he's under pressure, he goes safe. And, you know, you can't go safe if you've got to win games. You know, if you're in the playoff final, you can't play safe. You can't say it's over two legs. You know, this is the difference. I'll give you a different difference between Ron Atkinson and Carlos Carvalho. We played Blackburn in the two-leg semi-final. He said to us, we go and win the game. Let's go and win the game. We went and won the game 7-1. He went, let's go out and let's go at him, because there's another game to come. He would never think of saying, well, we've got another game to come, let's go and get a 0-0 and go back to Hillsborough. He would never say that. He would say that's 90 minutes wasted. And that's the difference between Carlos when he's under pressure to when he's not under pressure. When he's under pressure, he does what he feels is right and plays a brand of football that's attractive and nice. And that's all right. It will get you to a certain place. But then when the pressure comes on, he reverts to type. And do you know what happens when you do that as well? It gets into the players. It gets into the players' psyche. If you're attack-minded, if you go up teams and you're positive, then the players feed off that. But if you start becoming negative and results start to be negative, then the players also start becoming negative. And that's what's happened to Swansea. There is no way Swansea should have gone down this season in the position they were in, especially with Southampton, Stoke, West Brom and Huddersfield in free fall. There is no way they should have gone down this season.
Yep, totally agree with you. And there was one point where I think they got up to like 14th, 15th and they did really look safe. But unfortunately, that is the end of the show. So I'd just like to say thank you again for joining us here at Proper Sport, Carlton, for another episode of It Is What It Is.
Thank you. My pleasure. Take care.
You too.